Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to the Church on the Hill. Isn't it good to be in the Lord's house today?
Amen.
It's good. Thanks for being here. I do have a few announcements. The regular Bible study is Thursday, 10 o'clock. And something that's not in our bulletin is next Sunday is prayer breakfast, men's prayer breakfast. Please try to come to prayer breakfast. It's a very good ministry, and I guarantee you'll have some good food. It's at 7:30 next Sunday. Please be here. Also, Sunday the 14th is the Women's Auxiliary fundraiser meal, so please plan on that. Bring an appetite and some money so they can for a fundraiser. Are there any more announcements? Anything else? All right, then please stand and we will have our responsive reading out of your bulletin, please. Let us worship God, our light and our salvation.
The Lord is the stronghold of our lives.
We desire to live in God's house and to seek God in His holy temple.
We have come with shouts of joy, singing and playing music to the Lord.
Let us worship God in spirit and in truth.
Teach us new ways and make straight our paths in this hour of worship.
Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all here together again. We are a lot of separate people here, but right now we're one spirit, and we lift that up to you. And I hope that it's acceptable to you, and that we learn something from today's message, and take it home and spread it throughout our community. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Now please take your hymnal and turn to hymn 63. I want to sing verses 1, 2, and 5, the marked verses. Selena has our scripture reading this morning.
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 Our Old Testament scripture is going to come from Psalm chapter 107, verses 1 through 9, and then verse 43. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert waste, finding no way to an inhabited town, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. And then verse 43, let those who are wise give heed to these things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. And then our New Testament scripture comes from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I did fail to read a thank you earlier. I'll do that now. It says, "Thank you for helping me go to camp. I had a really good time with friends learning more about Jesus. I can't wait to go back next year. Love, Caden Smith." Now we have our time of prayer. I will mention that please keep my sister Rhonda in your prayers. She's in the hospital, several issues, and she'll be there probably maybe another week or two. So please keep her in your prayers. Any more requests?
Vance Davis.
Okay. Anybody else? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for so many blessings you bestow upon us. We thank you so much for what you give us, and we are so lucky to have you as our God. We ask you, Lord, that you will be with those who have been mentioned in prayer. Lord, be with the leaders of our country and the world. Just help us all to get along and do well, Lord. Again, we thank you for being here with us in our presence. And I ask, Lord, that now as we're in your presence, you will help us all to clear our minds of everything we're thinking of and just concentrate on worshiping you. And Lord, we ask you to be with the speaker this morning as she brings us this morning's message. And just thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. In the name we pray. Amen. Please take a hymnal. Let's turn to hymn 499, 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated. Well, if you're here today, you get a special treat. We've got our own, one of our own speaking today. You all know her. She's a great asset to our church. And without further ado, I ask Pam to come forward.
If you came today expecting an inspirational sermon, I'm sorry. You got me. I start to see you're not getting a preacher, you're getting an English teacher. That may not be such a great thing. Okay, now I have to decide. Yep. I got to have these to see you. I want to just share with you a little piece of scripture, and let me preface it by saying I am taking it completely out of context. But it says what I want it to say, so I'm going to take it out of context. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Rick Warren, the very well-known preacher, says, "Where there is no vision, the people go to a new parish." Anyway, with that said, for some time now, the deacons and Joe have been talking about vision and mission and asking us for ideas about our vision and mission, and the response has been slim. You've perhaps been tuning them out when they talked about it, or you're saying to yourself, we never had one before, why do we need one now? Well, actually, we did formulate a mission some years back, but it was too long and wordy to remember or to use. Well, the deacons have asked me to speak to you today about vision and mission, to clarify what those words mean, and to touch on why they're important for our church. Well, why me, you may be asking? Good question. Well, first of all, old English teachers never retire. They just wait for a new classroom. Sorry about that. And researching and finding out things is like mother's milk to us. And I have done some research because I surely did not know all this stuff when I started out. And most importantly, why they asked me is because I've just been through this vision and mission process at the children's home. So let me start with a hypothetical. If you want to go on a trip, do you get in the car and just start driving around? No, thank you. No, you don't. You have to have some idea of where you're going or you'll never get anywhere. Now let me give you a personal illustration. The first year or two I taught, I started out the year and did a little of this, and then I did some of that, and after I'd finished one thing, I'd have to decide what I was going to do next. It was all very haphazard, and I seemed to be accomplishing very little. Maybe I taught them a little something. Dexter, you think? Okay. Okay. Anyway, after the second year, before school started, I planned my entire year. With that plan, I could see where I needed to go, I could see how to get there, and I could evaluate if and how I'd met my objectives. All you school teachers have got smiles on your faces. But I can almost hear some of you thinking, well, what's wrong with what we've been doing? Well, maybe there's nothing wrong as such. But self-examination, keep in mind, is an important tool on a regular basis and definitely in the vision and mission process. Now, self-examination is not fun. And we may not like what we learn, but it is important. So think about the things our church does. Our auxiliary and all the things involved there. The youth and the things there. Worship services. Feeding the homeless quarterly. Supporting denominational ministries with monetary gifts. We have several Christmas activities and probably some other large ones I've missed, but that's hitting the big ones there. And then periodically, somebody will come up with a good idea for a project, and we'll do that for a few years. And sometimes we keep doing that past the time when we're accomplishing what we set out to accomplish. Now, I'm not criticizing what we do, but I'm asking in all of that we do, what do we hope to achieve? Where's it going? What's the purpose? Well, bringing souls to Christ is what we should be all about, and that means growing and being viable. Rick Warren, again, who is the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, in case you recognize the name, he says a church is a living organism, like a plant. A church is a living organism. It is natural for it to grow if it's healthy. If a church is not growing, it's dying. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be said about Deep Run Church. Now, some churches don't grow because they get comfortable with the way things are and don't do anything to change the status quo. And so what they do becomes humdrum, just sort of phoned in. Think about this. When were you last excited, enthusiastic about participating in any of the activities I just listed? Or do you rally behind those things, get involved in any of them? Now, I will say I look forward to worship service, but I'm not going to tell you my answer for some of those other things. Then think about the fact that people are drawn to a compelling vision and mission, and they get excited about being a part of an organization or a church that's making a difference. But if we as a church don't know what God's preferred future for us looks like, why should others want to join us in trying to get to that future or to achieve that vision? And a healthy, focused church not only will grow, but also it can do more good for others, and that should also be what we want to do. Leading a church to growth today requires more strategy and intentionality than ever before. It's no longer enough to open the door and hope for the best. That's where vision and mission come in. A mission statement explains to those outside the church what your church stands for and why you stand out, and it provides inspiration for people inside the church, and it provides guidance for people inside the church. Now, we've kicked around the terms vision and mission a lot here, but let's make sure we're clear on what those things are and what the difference is between them. Now, here's where the school teacher part comes in. I'm sorry about it. I can't help it. Okay, vision. The church's vision is where you're going, where you're heading. It's future-oriented and focused, as I said, on where we're going. It reveals the destination to be steered and moved toward. It gives a shared goal to leaders and congregation alike, and it gives direction over a period of time. It describes what the church hopes to become or achieve. Let me give you an example. President John Kennedy, in his 1961 inaugural address, said that we'd go to the moon by the end of the decade. Some of us did that when we heard it. He had created a vision for NASA and the United States. Once that vision was completed, NASA had to create a new vision. But think about that vision. It was clear. It was precise. We're going to the moon in 10 years. It was measurable. In 10 years, either we get there or we don't. That's vision. Now, mission. The church's mission statement is why you exist. In short, what you do. It's focused on the present and what we need to be doing. It's functional and purposeful so that things we do have a purpose, not just a little of this and a little of that. It's like a job description. It brings direction to what needs to be done. In short, what makes vision and mission statements different? Mission dictates what you exist to do. Vision shows what doing that successfully will result in. Okay, let's review for your test, all right? Mission is present. Vision is future. Mission is the what. Vision is the where. Mission is the doing in the present, and vision is the going into the future. Think about this. Unless people know why they're doing something, and unless they know that why they're doing it touches their innate desire to make a difference, they won't get motivated to do it. Let me tell you a story of a young man in high school. He was hired by a farmer to pick rocks out of a field. It must have been New England. Anyway, it was hard work, long hours, backbreaking. And the only consolation, other than the $5 an hour the kid was making, was knowing that the field would eventually be ready for planting. One day after finishing a field, the farmer asked this young man and his buddy to start picking rocks in another field. This field looked as if it never had and never would have anything planted to grow in it. It was full of rocks and stones, and to me, stones are bigger than rocks. It was uneven. The young man didn't know if the farmer truly had plans to put anything in that field or if he was just filling up the hour they had left on the clock. But the young man said in telling the story, he did remember asking, "Why are we doing this?" The job was now so unmotivating, it felt like a waste of time. In the other field, at least he had a half of an idea of why he was doing it. It was getting ready to be planted. You see, people need to know why they were doing something and how doing it makes a difference in order to be motivated. So defining and incorporating your vision and mission into the daily life of the church can be one of the most healthy and strategic things you can do for growth, because without mission, you will have no day-to-day focus. And without vision, you'll have no end goal. Now, let's look at some specific reasons why a church needs a mission or a statement of what we need to be doing or of our purpose. First of all, mission dictates ministry direction. Ministry, things we do. Okay? Mission dictates ministry direction. When you have a mission statement, you have somewhere to go. The great New York Yankees catcher Yogi Berra said, "If you don't know where you're going, you might end up someplace else." You had to love Yogi. Second, a mission formulates ministry function. When I read this statement, it just really slapped me in the face. You will never do ministry that matters until you define what matters. Let me say that again. You will never do ministry that matters until you define what matters. What matters specifically? Your mission statement will help you clarify what are we supposed to be doing. What matters? Next, mission focuses the ministry's future. A mission gives you, everybody, leaders and congregation, something tangible to focus on. It defines you and gives you a hope for what's to come. The opposite's also true. Without a mission statement, the future will look fuzzy and out of focus. We all want to see the world around us clearly. Clear eyesight helps us to know where we're going. It helps us to avoid hazards and obstacles in the way. And sometimes we don't know how far out of focus things have become until we have an eye checkup, sort of like that self-examination I was talking about. Now, after the eye checkup, we get some new glasses, and that brings things into focus. You won't really know for sure where you're going or what you're aiming for without a mission. The mission is like your glasses. Keeps everything in focus. Next, mission provides guidelines for decision making. Mission is to ministry what a compass is to a navigator. It provides a framework for critical thinking and decision making. If activities and programs are not the best and most strategic ways to carry out your mission, don't need to do them. Mission is framework for making those kinds of decisions. Also, mission inspires ministry unity. A mission statement can draw your members together as a team or a community. A mission statement broadcasts the idea, here is what we're doing. Let's all pull together and with God's help make it happen. Next, mission shapes strategy. Well, okay, what is strategy? Strategy is a plan of action designed to achieve an overall aim. It's really hard to create and implement strategic plans and steps when you don't have a target to aim at. It's like taking your bow and arrow and going out to the target range, and there are no targets set up. You could just shoot your arrow into the air and hope it doesn't hit your neighbor's car. You got nothing to go on. Your mission provides the basic framework for strategy. Next, mission shapes ministry effectiveness. There'd be no point in the scheme of things to draft a mission if it didn't have the high potential to improve your overall effectiveness or your overall success. It does do that. In fact, studies show that organizations and churches that have and operate from a well-drafted mission statement are much more likely to succeed than those that don't. Next, mission ensures an enduring organization. When you have a mission that the whole church knows and believes in, you have something that will last through multiple leadership changes and for years to come, no matter who your deacon board or your finance board are. It brings consistency and continuity to your church's future. And last, the mission facilitates evaluation. There's that evaluation again. It's important. There's a saying, you can't expect what you don't inspect. Well, you can't inspect what you don't expect either. If you don't have a clear goal to aim for, then you can't evaluate how well you're doing it, how well you're doing in getting there, like I learned in the classroom. So how do we go about formulating a vision and mission? Here are some ideas that are important to keep in mind and think about as we go through the process. We have to know what is important to us as a church, this church. Each church is unique. It's different from the one down the road. It's even different from the one across the street. So we have to decide what's important to this church body. And the answer to that helps us to be sure we're doing what we collectively understand we should be doing. It doesn't come from the pastor. It doesn't come from the deacons or any person. It has to have input and buy-in from everybody so that all can be enthusiastic about it. Also, we need to know what God has called us to do. There are a lot of things churches can do. And there's some basics we all agree on, like the Great Commission and so on. But there are also unique opportunities God has placed before each church. Location may dictate that. If you're in the inner city or in the country, that will make a difference. But just because another church does something doesn't necessarily mean our church should do it too. For example, Jackson Heights Church has a wonderful, successful addiction ministry. That doesn't mean that we have to or need to duplicate it. Growth requires a focus on the right ministries, on the most effective activities, and the study of the Bible that will bring God's Word most pointedly into our lives and into the lives of others out there. So we have to seek clarity on what God is uniquely calling this church to do. Also, we have to know God's vision for our future. Often, and we do that by seeking God, often God's vision for a church is going to cause some disruption. Now, I didn't say dissension. It's going to cause some disruption because God is stretching us. He's stretching us and seeking to help us grow and become like Him. And that stretching and growing may move us out of our comfort zone. But as the saying goes, if you keep on doing what you've always done, you keep on getting what you've always got. And what we've always got may be dwindling numbers and no passion for ministry. So we have to trust God to empower us to grow to greater heights because God always has more in mind for us than we have in mind for ourselves. But God can empower us to handle it. And finally, we have to remain consistent. We need to discipline ourselves against doing things that fall outside our vision and mission when we get them, when we get that vision and mission. And we have to let go of things that we've always done if they fall outside of the vision and mission. A simple question that can help is, does doing, insert here a plan or an action, does doing that help us move toward our vision or mission? And if the answer is no, don't do it. And a follow-up question that's also helpful, is there a better way for us to achieve our vision or mission? And if the answer is yes, go for that. The key is, give some time for your plans and actions to be successful. Don't give up right away. If God is in it, it will be successful. Now that I've confused you thoroughly, or clarified as I hope to, let's spend just a minute on the vision and mission statements themselves. The vision and mission statements will be a work in progress for a while, but the final product is short. In fact, a vision or mission statement should be short, impactful, and clear, like the, we're going to the moon within 10 years. That's already been done. We can't use it, but anyway. Short, impactful, and clear. One sentence or two max, and not long sentences. I read one source that suggests 6 to 12 words. I don't know about that, but anyway. It's not some long statement that you write down and file away on a shelf and that's it. No, instead, it's an active, alive mission that everyone knows and wants to rally behind. Now, many church mission statements are often much too long to remember. They're filled with vague, lofty-sounding words or religious buzzwords. The statement loses its power if no one can actually understand it or remember it. I like to think of it as an elevator speech. It should be a statement you can tell a fellow passenger in the length of an elevator ride. Everybody should be able to remember it, so that if you're asked, what's Deep Run Church all about? Give them the mission. That should answer the question. Now, let me give you an example of a vision and mission statement, one I know well. The vision of the children's home is to see every child thrive and families flourish. That's 8 words, by the way. To see every child thrive and families flourish. That's the vision. That's the thing out there that we work toward. Okay? The mission of the children's home. The Free Will Baptist Children's Home is called, here it gets, right here it starts, is called to provide a nurturing environment to promote the spiritual, emotional, educational, and physical well-being of children, youth, and families. See, I almost know it. Now, let me just pull it apart a little bit. The home is called. That word called was important to us because we see what the children's home does as a mission. So it's called to provide a nurturing environment, the atmosphere at the home. And that nurturing environment promotes the spiritual, emotional, educational, and physical well-being. Those are the things that are provided there of children, youth, and families. And that covers all the constituents of the children's home. Children incorporates the pre-K and after-school program. Youth incorporates the residential program, and families, the families that are touched by those children, and also the foster care program. So that encompasses everything we do. Now then we have strategies, those plans that achieve this mission, but that's it. Now, these two statements didn't happen in 2 hours. We did surveys, we did interviews, we asked questions of all those involved with or connected to the home. And from that data and our discussions, we derive the vision and mission. It's a process, but it's an important process. So when we start talking about it, please don't tune it out. It's really, really helpful. Now, here's your homework. Seriously, here's your homework. Please do this for the next 2 weeks. Okay, is everybody? I got you. Okay. Think about these questions. Think how you would answer them. If you want to write down the answers, that's great. I'm going to ask Selena to put them in the bulletin for the next few weeks, so you don't have to scribble them, but here they are. And think about these. What does God want to do through our church? What does God want to do through our church? Where do we want to be in 1, 3, 5, 10 years down the road? And finally, why do we exist in our community? Why do we exist in our community? And the second thing I want you to do is spend a lot of time in prayer for God's guidance in leading us to His vision for us and to the mission that will get us there. Now, I want to close with a prayer that I found last night. This is a little book that I gave to my mom and daddy. It's fallen apart. It's paperclipped together. It doesn't have a date, but it's 100 years ago. But they're prayers by Peter Marshall, who was the well-known chaplain of the United States Senate for years, and it spoke to me about what I was trying to say to you. So let's pray and listen to Peter Marshall's prayer. In this day that the Lord has made, help us, O God, to appreciate its beauty and to use its opportunities rightly. Deliver us, we pray, from the tyranny of trifles. May we give our best thought and attention to what is important, that we may accomplish something worthwhile. Teach us how to listen to the prompting of your Spirit, and thus save us from floundering in indecision and that wastes time, subtracts from our peace, and divides our efficiency and multiplies our troubles. Give us open minds, O God, minds ready to receive and to welcome such new light of knowledge as it is your will to reveal. Let not the past ever be so dear to us as to set a limit to the future. Give us the courage to change our minds when that is needed. Let us be tolerant of the thoughts of others, for we never know in what voice you will speak. Will you keep our ears open to your voice and make us a little more deaf to whispers of those who would persuade us from our duty? For we know in our hearts that only in your will is our peace and prosperity. We pray in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
The deacons had asked Pam to speak, and it was obviously divine intervention having her gone through the Bible school stuff, children's home stuff. And so we thank her immensely, and she definitely was very thorough on that. She challenged you to 2 weeks to think about these items listed in the bulletin. At the end of those 2 weeks, we're going to have a survey we're going to pass out. We're going to look for your response. We're going to try to do it a couple times over the next few months, weeks, and see if we can't get some direction on our vision and mission and put this into action, or to put these words into action, rather. But again, thank you, Pam, for your thoughts, and thank you for being here.
Okay, let's please stand and turn in your hymnal to 483. We're going to sing both verses.
Thank you.
thank you again for being here today. It's great to worship with you. Does anyone have anything to say before we close?
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. All right, let's bow for prayer. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.